This is Generation Justice, a multimedia project that trains youth to harness the power of media. I'm Matthew Brown.
And I'm Kateri Zuni.
In the wake of the United States' most expensive and controversial presidential election, many Americans are in celebration, mourning, or just plain confused.
To help make sense of it all and to discuss ways to move forward, we're joined by Alan Weber. Alan is a former gubernatorial candidate and co-founder of the nonprofit One New Mexico.
You'll also hear students at UNM share their post-election thoughts.
So tonight, we'll look at the impact of the election together, including all of the pride, fear, and frustration that lingers after the polls have closed.
Invoking the spirit of our country and all of the greatness that we have and have yet to achieve, here's Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen.
Took us when I hit the ground. In the black, a dog has been beat too much till you spend half your
Since his gubernatorial run in 2014, entrepreneur Alan Weber has kept up the momentum of his campaign through the organization One New Mexico.
One New Mexico brings together people and ideas for a better future and a better New Mexico.
Recently, my co-host, Matthew Brown, had the pleasure of chatting with Alan to discuss the challenges and lessons of running for office and what the results of the 2016 election will mean for the future of New Mexico.
This is Matthew Brown with Generation Justice, and I'm here with Alan Weber, an author, entrepreneur, and founder of One New Mexico. Alan, it's a pleasure to have you here today.
Matthew, thank you.
So to start off, will you please tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. My background includes a number of things. I was a journalist earlier in my life. I ran the Harvard Business Review back in the day. I started a magazine called Fast Company Magazine mm-hmm. that became the fastest growing business magazine in the country's history. Mm-hmm. I've worked in politics in various parts of the country. I worked for the mayor of Portland, Oregon back in the 70s. When the mayor became Secretary of Transportation, when Jimmy Carter was mm-hmm. president, I got to go back and be part of a national administration. And I've been in New Mexico for about 13 years now, and I recently ran for governor of New Mexico.
Very much a Renaissance man. I appreciate that. Definitely.
But no, I think what I am proud of in my life is engagement with things that matter, finding great people to work with, and curiosity.
So just to dig in a little bit more, I'm really interested in your background as a businessman and what are some of the things that you've done, including Fast Company magazine. I'm really interested in that.
Sure. I had been involved in politics. And then when Ronald Reagan defeated Jimmy Carter, mm-hmm. not all that different from this election, the country took a serious turn to the right. And I had a kind of a wake-up call that done right, business could be a source of great positive opportunity and change. I ended up working at the Harvard Business Review, and after running it for a number of years, I decided I wanted to start my own magazine, which was a great leap into the unknown. I learned a lot from that. I learned that a good idea is easy to have, but executing it is hard. A lot of what we learned along those 3 years was managing not our money, but our emotions.
Okay.
How do you stay positive when the world isn't immediately embracing your idea?
Right.
I think entrepreneurship, innovation, creativity obviously is sort of the cry of the moment for young people in particular. How do I find my way into the future? Well, maybe I don't look for a job. I create my own job.
Definitely.
But then how do I do that? And what are the skills I need? And what are the risks I take? And how do I know whether I should focus on money or people or ideas or the package?
Right. And that's definitely something that I'm personally interested in. I know there's a lot of young New Mexicans who are trying to figure out that sort of entrepreneurial mindset of how do I create something if it's not necessarily there for me. But just kind of shifting gears a little bit, I do want to talk about One New Mexico, specifically the history and also your guys' mission statement.
Well, as I mentioned, back in 2014, I ran for the Democratic nomination for governor. And apparently I did not win, but I don't think I lost. I became enormously in love with New Mexico. When you run for a statewide office, you get to travel all over the state. You sit down with leaders of Native American pueblos and tribes. You sit down with land grant board members. You sit down with labor leaders and educators and business people, mm-hmm. families who are dealing with grief and pain. All across the board, people will actually talk to you more if you're a candidate than if you're a journalist. And they trust you more than if you're a journalist. So I didn't win the most votes, but I think I won the election. And after the election was over, I thought I had too much invested in that experience to simply walk away from it. And so One New Mexico is a nonprofit that is, in effect, the campaign without an election. I still talk about the same things that I talked about during the campaign. How do we connect people all across the state? Because it's a vast state, but there are 2 million people in it. Our future, I think, is unlimited if we work together to create it. So that is, in a sense, what I took away from the campaign and what I'm continuing to do with One New Mexico.
One thing that I do want to ask you are some of the particular hurdles that One New Mexico is focusing on.
I came away from the election with what they call at the Harvard Business School, a theory of the case.
Okay.
You know, when you look at a problem in business or in life, mm-hmm. whether you know it or not, you need to have a theory of why the problem is the way it is. How do you make sense of it? I came away from my campaign thinking that New Mexico historically has been locked in what I called an iron triangle of poverty at the top of the triangle. Poverty then leads directly to underperforming school achievement. And underperforming school achievement leads to underpaying jobs, which leads to, guess what, more poverty. And I thought, well, I can't start businesses or projects in each of those categories myself. What I can find are solutions that are already working that I can support. All across the state, there are solutions that are already working. We just don't look at them enough.
Right.
We don't analyze why they work, and then we don't replicate them or spread them or find ways to grow them. So I'm on a search for solutions that work for problems that matter, and they are hiding in plain sight. We have an upcoming session in the legislature. Mm-hmm. Our governor has said she will not raise taxes.
Right.
That's her ironclad oath. And so I am collecting, and I would invite listeners to send me through the One New Mexico website their ideas, 50 ways to make New Mexico better without raising taxes. And it goes from everything to better government, cleaner government, more transparent government, to better schools, better job training, entrepreneurship for everyone, mm-hmm. ways to really lift New Mexico without raising taxes.
Okay.
And I'd love to get a flood of email because I think you can crowdsource this.
Absolutely.
And come up with inventive, creative ways to grow New Mexico from the grassroots up and not wait for this governor or any other governor
right.
to decide that they're going to do what the people want.
So recently you were awarded the Warren Bennis Award for Excellence and Leadership. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Warren Bennis essentially created the study of leadership in America. One of his best-known books is called On Becoming a Leader. He tried to really delve into the question of, are leaders made or born?
Right.
Can you become a better leader? In receiving the award, I had to go back and think through many of those questions myself and ask myself, what do I think leadership is? And in the years since I left Fast Company, I think the definition of leadership has migrated again. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it in this most recent presidential election.
Absolutely.
I think as a country, we've gotten confused that we think celebrity is leadership or wealth is leadership.
Correct.
If you're rich and famous, you're a leader. You could be the most distasteful human being with the worst values, but if you're rich and famous, we'll give you a podium. And so I think that's a dangerous definition of leadership. What I said when I accepted the award was that I've actually begun to winnow down my definition of leadership to just a couple of questions. First question is, what do you stand for? And by the way, what you won't stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And the second question is, who do you stand with? When I look around, I see who's with you. That tells me who you are. And when I see who Donald Trump stood with, I get very upset. When I see who some of our recently elected leaders in New Mexico stand with, I get very proud. Mm-hmm. Because I think our state has a lot better grasp of the future and of the reality of a diverse and accepting culture than the national profile.
Absolutely. And I do want to explore that a little bit more. So I do want to ask you, what do you think the impact of the election has on New Mexico as a state?
The national election, if you're looking at some of the potential benefits, which I hasten to say are potential and only benefits in one dimension, President-elect Trump has said he wants to spend more on the military.
Right.
And New Mexico historically has been a state where military spending has benefited our employment picture and our mm-hmm. revenue picture. So I think it's fair to say that we would be the recipients of more federal defense spending.
Correct.
And perhaps other forms of federal spending. I think on the less optimistic side, I think a Trump presidency has a very dampening effect on celebrating diversity, mm-hmm. which is at the heart of New Mexico. I think it will have a very dampening effect on the environment, which is at the heart of New Mexico. I think it'll have a very dampening effect on international trade, particularly with Mexico, mm-hmm. which is our neighbor and about which Mr. Trump appears to know very little in reality.
I think that this transition of power really allows us to ask ourselves that question, especially as New Mexicans. I mean, you look at the demographics of our state, the way that it turned out after the election, New Mexico really was at odds with what the rest of the country was. Despite everything being so divisive, it really does allow us as New Mexicans to examine our values and say, this is what we stand for.
Yes. And Matthew, I'll vote for you right now. No, I think...
Give me a few more years.
All right. Well, but hurry up. We need you.
Thank you. I very much appreciate that.
I think we need to celebrate ourselves. Definitely. If you look at the election, we didn't fall for that stuff. And at a time when there is more viciousness afoot in the land, in places where anger is acting out, I think we need to step up and stand tall and be a place where we don't let that happen.
And earlier we spoke about anger being a very powerful emotion, but it being productive if you use it in the right way. And so I want to see what your opinions are sort of about the nation's reaction to this election. And is our anger displaced? Is it rightfully so? And what can we do with that?
Well, I am a great believer in a quote that F. Scott Fitzgerald said years ago, a sign of a really well-developed mind, a really careful mind, a good mind, it's the ability to hold opposing thoughts at the same time and still take action. Mm-hmm. So my opposing thoughts are, on the one hand, unbridled optimism for New Mexico. Mm-hmm. The fact that we've got a new legislature that is, I think, elected with an agenda of positive change mm-hmm. and new ideas and innovation. The other is righteous indignation. Hillary Clinton, as we speak, is now about 2 million votes ahead in the in the popular vote. In the states that she lost to lose the election, mm-hmm. the margin of defeat was so narrow, 0.01%. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, we're having this radical shift so that Mr. Trump's first 100 days, as he's published his plan, it's 100 days of horror. So what I have been talking about with my friends is a first 100 days of resistance agenda. What can we do in the first 100 days of Trump's administration to demonstrate that we're not going to simply let this happen? Mm-hmm. We're not going to accept this as the new normal. I think we ought to ask every member of the New Mexico congressional delegation to take an oath that they will fight and resist Trump's appointments. We should ask the same of every Democrat who's in the Congress. This is the time to stand and fight.
What message would you give to the younger generation of how we can mobilize? How can we really take part in this democratic process that does not end after the election?
Right. Well, the famous slogan from the old days is don't mourn, organize. I would say find out who you can work with, where there's an existing organization that you can participate in. If you've got a few dollars in your pocket, make a contribution. You know, money is voice, as the Supreme Court told us. Don't let your voice go unheard. Get together and schedule a regular set of meetings. If there are opportunities to participate in peaceful demonstrations and ways of getting together so that numbers of people come together around an issue, you know, don't mourn, organize. And if you didn't vote in this election, either because you didn't know who to vote for or you were confused or it just didn't dawn on you that it might actually matter, register and vote.
And so from a more broader sense, is there anything that you would like to tell our listeners?
The national debate seems far away, and it can be far away. I think we need to bring it home. I think your comments about New Mexico standing up for the values of New Mexico is spot on. And as New Mexicans, of whatever political persuasion or no political persuasion, values are values. We should cherish what makes New Mexico special. Everything about New Mexico is not replicable anywhere else. And we should cherish that.
Absolutely. That was spectacular. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Matthew.
Alan, thank you for taking the time to speak with us. It has been an honor to share this space with you. So
thank you. Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed this enormously. I hope I can come back.
This is Matthew Brown with Generation Justice.
Alan, thank you so much for sharing your story with us and for recognizing the strength and beauty and multiculturalism that makes New Mexico so great.
Whether you're excited or scared for the future, one thing that we all share is a love for music and its ability to unite us. For all of the winners and losers out there, here's When the Man Comes Around by Johnny Cash, then F.U. by Lily Allen.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured a hundredweight and penny pound, when the man comes around.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him.
Look inside your tiny mind, then look a bit harder, 'cause we're so uninspired, so sick and tired of all the hatred you harbor. So you say, it's not okay to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil. You're just some racist who can't tie my laces. Your point of view is medieval. Keep
Welcome back. For those of you just tuning in, we've been discussing our post-election thoughts and actions for the future.
Continuing that discussion, we bring you the voices of UNM students Brianna Grubb, Lily Melkowski, Rudy Clark, Gabrielle Hines Brown, Scott Ramirez, and David Brown. Here's what they had to say.
My name is Rudy Clark. I'm a senior in the political science program.
I'm Gabrielle Hines Brown. I'm a second year student here studying biology.
Hi, my name is Scott Ramirez. I go to school at UNM. My major is construction management.
My name is Brianna Grubb. I'm a political science student here at the University of New Mexico, and I'm a senior.
Yes, my name is David Brown. I go to the University of New Mexico, and I'm an engineering student right now.
Hi, my name's Lily Melkowski. I'm a senior and a psychology major here at UNM.
From the very beginning, it was a very divisive election. It really brought out some people's true colors. It started out, I think, very hopeful, but towards the end, when you really saw how most of the country was voting, it just kind of showed how we have not made as much progress as I would have hoped.
It's really interesting if you're looking at it from strictly an academic perspective, just to see, because Trump is kind of unprecedented in that he's never had any military background and no political background before this. So what he's doing is being watched very closely. It might create positive things. It has obviously already created very many negative aspects. I'm just hoping that he does a 180 on most of the things that he said on the campaign. Honestly, he did 180s on the campaign, so I see no reason why he wouldn't do so with his policies as well.
This year's election has been extremely divisive to all kinds of people from different backgrounds. I especially fear the life of people in North Dakota and the DAPL movement, because the Trump administration is going to be overseeing that. I expect less federal backing for the Native tribes. Beyond that, I also fear for the LGBT community, because the people who Donald Trump chose are notorious for anti-gay legislation. And I also fear for Muslim people because they're going to end up being the alpha target, the primary target for Donald Trump's administration.
Well, I have a lot of family that's immigrants. And, well, that plays a big role in my life, which affects my family a lot. And it's just living in fear what's going to happen. But you got to wait another 4 years for another president.
Having a businessman more than a politician in the office is kind of going to be new. I think that it's just going to be an adjustment that everyone's going to have to get used to, and that I think coming together as a country is what's going to help us as a whole.
I think everything about it kind of took us by surprise by the choice of candidates and on the part of, you know, the Republican Party. The kind of negation of truth in the election was kind of, it's like true, like the truth isn't really relevant anymore.
Honestly, the way that people were talking, I did think that he would become president. Personally, I didn't vote for him, but I kind of saw it coming, but I was like a little worried about it, not gonna lie. But nothing we can do now. That's our president-elect. See you in January, sir.
It's just to live with it. Let's go day by day. We have nothing else to do. Let's go to college and go to school and work. It's that time in the generation where we can't be separated by gender, sex, or age. It's just, we need to come together.
Overcoming fear is not an easy thing for people to do. If you look at, like, U.S.'s reaction to 9/11, going into Iraq, like, immediately lashing out, even if it's not on the exact right target. We learn from that, and we'll learn from this. When I think about overcoming fear, I think about the protesters that have been coming forward. I think they're really using their anger at the outcome of this election really productively. I think it's really important that we show just how dissatisfied we are with the outcome of this election. And I think it's really brave of them to immediately come out in this really tense atmosphere and speak their minds and, you know, face off against police and counter-protesters and everything.
To move forward from fear is going to take a lot of effort from white Americans. I believe that blacks, Hispanics, and other demographics have tried to heal the wound since the 1960s regarding racial integration, racial politics, but specifically in suburban and rural neighborhoods where it is almost exclusively white, they have taken virtually no steps to change their racial cultures.
It's important to move forward, but it's also important to take time to kind of process what has happened and how it will affect everyone. It's definitely a time to kind of reconcile with both the people that you agree with and disagree with. And I think more progress will be made when it's not so divisive.
Brianna, Lily, Rudy, Gabrielle, Scott, and David, thank you for sharing your thoughts, hopes, and concerns with us. Hearing you speak helped me process my own feelings following the results of this election, and for that, I have nothing but gratitude.
The week before the election, we aired a song called Democracy by Leonard Cohen. Now, just 1 week later, the results are in, and another powerful voice has left us. In Cohen's honor, this is Hallelujah, followed by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs with Sacrilege.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing Hallelujah. 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 proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair, she broke your throat and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the
Hallelujah.
we've come to the end of another great show.
We'd like to give a special thanks to tonight's guests, Alan Weber, Brianna Grubb, Lily Melkowski, Rudy Clark, Gabrielle Hines-Brown, Scott Ramirez, and David Brown.
Production assistance for tonight's program came from Christina Rodriguez, Edgar Cruz, Alicia Hernandez, Matthew Brown,
Kateri Zuni, George Luna Peña, and Roberta Rael.
Stay connected with us. Check out our website, generationjustice.org, where you can listen to all of our past radio programs, see music playlists, read our blogs, watch videos, and so much more. Our podcasts are available on iTunes, so be sure to subscribe.
We're also active on social media, so be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from the McCune Foundation, Kola Alma Health Foundation, and of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking Donate. I'm Kateri Zuni.
And I'm Matthew Brown. Coming up next on KUNM is Spoken Word, so stay tuned and join us next Sunday at 7 o'clock.
Taking their time right behind my back. be cheap. You will be whirling. We'll break for what we have in honor of fortune. We'll give thanks to the past. I'm gonna drive off.
Make it make